I'm Elena Porro, Senior Deputy Editor of Cell, and you're listening to A Cell Paperclip. Organelles like the centrosome that nucleate microtubules organize the microtubule cytoskeleton. The position of these microtubule organizing centers, or mTOCs, can determine polarity, for example, by setting the mitotic plane, or the anterior-posterior axis. Marilène Doctorham of the FOM Institute EMOLF in Amsterdam studies how mTOC sense and adjust their position. She has shown that the motor protein dynein attached to the cell cortex controls microtubule length and generates pulling forces on microtubules that help center mTOCs in the cell. Marilène, thanks for speaking with me today.
Yeah, hello.
What got you interested in studying microtubules?
So I've been interested in studying the dynamics of microtubules ever since my PhD work, but during my postdoc I got specifically interested in the force-generating capabilities of microtubules, and that's what eventually led into this project that we're writing about in this paper.
Before you completed the work presented in the paper, how did we think that microtubule organizing centers were positioned in cells?
So I think that there's at least two different ways mTOCs can get positioned, and this is either by using simply pushing forces that are generated by microtubules, and this is, for example, true in fission yeast during interphase, and we understand quite well how that works. And in many other cases, we knew already for quite a while from many experiments in cells that dynein at the cortex is playing an important role and that pulling forces contribute. But the mechanism of how microtubule dynamics gets regulated, how length gets regulated, and how eventually pulling forces are generated that lead to this positioning was not understood. So we knew which molecules were involved, but we did not understand how the positioning works.
You've performed biophysical experiments mimicking the cell cortex by coating microfabricated barriers with dynein.
That's right.
Based on the results, how does dynein control microtubule length?
What we found is that when dynamic microtubule ends that are growing, when they run into, an artificial cortex where dynein is located, that dynein captures the dynamic microtubule ends and then very quickly triggers a switch from a growing phase to a shrinking phase. So by arriving at the barrier where dynein is and being forced to switch to a shrinking state, the lengths get automatically tuned to span exactly the distance between the mTOC and the cortex.
What was most surprising to you about the results?
Initially, the most surprising result to me was that pulling forces would be so efficient in reliably centering mTOCs in a simple symmetric geometry. So naively, before we started the experiment, I had actually expected that in a simple system like this with only dynein creating pulling forces that you should get a destabilizing effect. And what we instead found, basically from day one that the experiment worked, is that whenever you introduce pulling forces in this geometry, that you always get a very reliable, precise positioning in the center of the cell. And that was actually, although it was something that we were interested in explaining, it was a big surprise to me that this simple system with the components that we added was enough to get that effect.
So you've mentioned that the pulling forces generated by dynein's interaction with the microtubules can center asters in a square chamber.
Yes.
What do these studies performed in vitro and in silico tell us about dynein's role in cells?
If I may, I can maybe add to the fact that I was surprised that it worked so nicely, and we actually found out when we figured out an explanation for this that it's the combination of pushing, which forces microtubules to slide a little bit along the cortex, and subsequent pulling that is important for positioning. And the theory tells us actually that if you would have pulling alone without any time for sliding along the cortex, that it should not work, but that it's the combination of the two that makes this reliable centering. And this is something we had not expected, and I think it's a new idea that we learned from these in vitro experiments. So to think about it in this way was really triggered by the in vitro experiments, and then subsequently the theory gave us an explanation for the mechanism that made it work so well. The other important thing that we learned about dynein is that in the absence of any other factors, it's actually able to both regulate microtubule dynamics and length and also mediate pulling forces generated by dynein. You do not need other factors or different factors to perform these different functions, that actually both the regulation of dynamics and length and the mediation of pulling forces, at least in its essence, can be all done by just the dynein microtubule interaction without the need for other cofactors. Something that is not in the paper, right now, but I saw an important consequence is this simple mechanism works very well in a square or, for that matter, a round chamber or cell. But if you make a very elongated shape, such as the fission yeast, then the same mechanism will not work. So we've learned something about how interaction with the cortex with bidynamic microtubules that involves a combination of pushing and sliding and subsequent pulling mediated by nilin, that together gives a very reliable mechanism to position, but in a geometry-dependent way. So in a cell, it works very well, and that is more or less spherical, but in an elongated cell, just such a fission yeast, it would not work.
I see. So in a cell that's potentially changing shape, how do you think that would work?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. A cell that would change in shape or a cell that is very asymmetric in shape is something that we're still working on. What would this mechanism lead to? If you take, for example, an oval shape that has a slightly different size on the two ends, that you can maybe even by changing the shape a little bit create a slightly off-centering effect that would give you slightly asymmetric positioning process, which is very important in many cellular systems. We have, of course, focused on the simplest situation right now, which is a symmetric shape. But in many cases in the cell, you have slightly asymmetric shapes. And the next question will be, if you impose only a small shape change, how does that influence and maybe can that drive a slightly polarized positioning processes that are typical in many vivo situations?
Thank you very much, Marie-Laine, for speaking to me about your work.
It's a pleasure.
The paper by Lan et al. Appears in the February 3rd issue of Cell. You can see it online at cell.com. I'm Elena Porro, and you've been listening to A Cell Paperclip.